go to John 3:16. And then we're going to go to John 13, and I'll read verses 34 and 35, but I'm going to read those verses in the Amplified Bible. Let's read verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And in John 13, 34, and 35, in the Amplified Bible, Jesus said, I give you a new commandment, that you should love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you too should love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another, if you keep on showing love among yourselves. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, no worries.
No worries.
For the rest of my days. See, that's the way it was designed. Once we received Jesus Christ as Savior, we weren't supposed to have any worries for the rest of our days. Yet, we worry. And we have to find out, what is it about worrying that makes it so attractive that we just got to do it? I mean, we have to think about that. We know who we are. If we don't know, we've heard about who we are. We know who our Father is. We know what he can do. Yet we worry. I was reading, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit here, because I was looking at an article online and said I could mention it if I mentioned the title and the author. So it's obeying the law. The online, it was called Worrying, Worrying, Worrying by Lee E. Warren. B-A-comma-D-D. Whatever that is. Doesn't mean Dolores knows him. All right. But he shared some interesting thoughts about worrying. I'm just going to share some of them. He opened it by saying, a worried mind is a troubled mind that is not at peace. Even though mankind and past civilizations had a rougher time surviving the elements and avoiding imminent dangers than modern man, it is modern man who is consumed by worry. You think about it, we don't have to literally go out and hunt and kill our food and hope that we don't become someone else's food in the process. We don't have to build a home, you know, every other night. You know, we travel, we move, and then we have to build some shelter. We can't find any food there. We have to go and build another shelter. We don't have to do that. Yet we worry. They didn't worry. He goes on to say that humans worry because they lack knowledge of the future and fear their limited capacity. Mothers worry whether their children will be safe, responsible, well-adjusted. Children worry if they're living up to, are they living up to their parents' expectation. Students and lawyers worry whether they'll pass exams and make persuasive arguments. Doctors worry whether they gave the correct diagnosis or medication so that the patient will be cured. And guess what? The patients worry. Okay. I mean, it said the list of people worrying about themselves is endless. Modern medicine and psychology have found out that worry not only affects the mind, but also the body in the most profound way. And he concludes this article by saying, it is quite obvious that worry is a symptom of a society that lacks a spiritual connection and trust in the Creator. That the problem would be solved immediately if one turned to the Spirit within them. Immediately. See, we go around and say, well, my nose is too big. You know, my feet are too big. I used to think that. Not anymore, I don't. I would worry. Lord, I mean, they're never going to stop growing. And all that worrying, they still kept growing and growing. Okay. But when you think about it, a multi billion-dollar industry, cosmetic surgery. My nose is too big. I need a nose job. My ears need to be clipped. My face is drooping. Got to get a facelift. Because I know how old I am, but I don't want anyone else to know. Okay. So, you know, my hair is thinning out. Let me get some implants. Okay. And I do all of those things. I get a stomach tuck and I, you know, shape the buttocks. And then you just, you come out because you want to be accepted. You know, you've seen all these commercials with all these women in bikinis running after you. And, you know, and you're single. And so you say, yes, yes, yes. Okay. And you get these surgeries done. And you're so nervous as to whether it's going to work or not, you develop a little nervous tic. Okay? Start biting your nails and things, you know. And then you go out and you're like, and you're wondering why no one's coming near you. You know, you've done all that work. Look like one of those zombies in that thriller movie, you know. Because you're just worrying about everything. And you're just making yourselves sick. Worrying. It's amazing. All that worry is doing is making someone else rich. That's what it's doing. Your therapist, your doctor, your plastic surgeon, you know, all of them, they're all making money because you, by definition, you're tormenting yourself with disturbing thoughts. The devil's not doing it. Yeah, we're looking at what he presents, and we're using that to torment ourselves. We're tormenting ourselves with cares, with anxieties, with troubles. We're caused to be anxious or uneasy, especially if we think something's dangerous or has the potential to be dangerous. I mean, when I used to go up to the village, I would drive up that big hill in the truck and park it there because I knew they had seen bears on the property. And so you go out there and say, well, what am I going to do up here by myself if I saw a bear? And I'm like, I better know. I don't know who I am. It doesn't matter what I think. You know, but you do all kinds of silly things just because you're worrying about something that's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. We get worried about stuff that has never happened to us, but we think that it might based on what we see in front of us. Let's look at Matthew 6. I'm going to share this out of the Phillips New Testament. I'm going to read verses 24 to 34. It says, no one can be loyal to two masters. He's bound to hate one and love the other, or support one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and the power of money at the same time. That is why I say to you, don't worry about living, wondering what you're going to eat or drink or what you're going to wear. Surely life is more important than food, and the body more important than the clothes that you wear. Look at the birds. Look at the birds in the sky. They never sow nor reap nor store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you much more valuable than they? Can any of you, however much he worries, make himself an inch taller? I mean, they actually sell a product that I see it on commercials that you put it in your shoes and it makes you up to 2 inches taller. It says, get the job you've always desired. You know, impress the woman of your dreams. I said, you get married when you take off those shoes, she's going to know something. But for, I think in 1995, you can be 2 inches taller. Amazing. And why do you worry about clothes? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They neither work nor weave, but I tell you that even Solomon in all his glory was never arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothed the flowers of the field, which are alive today and burnt in the stove tomorrow, is he not much more likely to clothe you, you little faith? So don't worry and don't keep saying, what shall we eat and what shall we drink or what shall we wear? That is what pagans are always looking for. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Set your heart on the kingdom and his goodness, and all these things will come to you as a matter of course. That means during your normal course of living out this Christ-centered life, these things will just be there. You don't have to look for it. There's some things you won't even have to believe for. You'll just have to, all you have to do is just what God said, and all of those things will be there. See, you remember Philippians 4:19? If you didn't, we read it tonight before the ministry of giving. It says, my God shall. You know what that means? You don't have it yet. See, too many times we've fallen victim to well-meaning folks when you say, oh, I have a need. No, you don't. You don't have a need. All your needs are met. Well, wait a minute. It said, my God shall supply. Why would he have to shall supply if the need wasn't there? That verse is saying, yes, you have needs, but God will provide for them. That's what it's saying. See, when one of the things that we have to understand, we don't want to get to the point where we're worrying so much about what we want that we fail to see that God has provided what we need. And sometimes we don't see what we're going through with God fulfilling a need. I mean, I was speaking to someone earlier, and they were telling me about a medical challenge that they had, and that for 3 days they had diarrhea because they had this bacteria had invaded their intestines and stomach. And I said to them, praise God, because the body was functioning just the way he designed it. See, we wanted relief, and that's fine, and they wanted relief, but the need was to get that toxin out of your body. And so your body said, this is how it's got to go. And it proceeded to get rid of it. Well, that's what it's supposed to do. That's what it's supposed to do. And if you wonder why I'm being more little deliberate, I am. My body's feeling something. But it's okay. When one is hungry, because if I were my body, if I were the enemy, and I was getting ready to do this, I wouldn't want me to say it either. But it says, verse 34, don't worry at all about tomorrow. Tomorrow can take care of itself. One day's trouble is enough for one day. The God's Word translation says, don't ever worry about tomorrow. Don't ever. No matter what comes, no matter what happens, don't worry about tomorrow. Worrying, listen to this, will damage your physical and mental health, cause the object of your worry to consume your thoughts, disrupt your productivity, negatively affect the way you treat others, adversely affect your emotions, and most importantly, it will reduce your ability to trust God, thereby preventing you from doing what God's called you to do. How does it do that? Look at Mark 4. And I'm going to share this out of the Message Bible. This is part of the parable of the sower. It says, the seed cast in the weeds represents the ones who hear the kingdom news but are overwhelmed with worries about all the things they have to do and all the things they want to get. The stress strangles what they heard and nothing comes of it. The contemporary English version says, but they start worrying about the needs of this life. They are fooled by the desire to get rich and have all kinds of other things, so the message gets choked out and they never produce anything. I thought that term choked out was interesting because in the, they call it a sport, I call it barbaric, but in mixed martial arts, one of the ways you win is you choke the person out. You put them in a stranglehold, and they can give up because they feel they can't breathe and they're going to die, and the only way to save themselves is to stop. And that's what happened. Worry strangles what God has said to you. And after it strangles it, you no longer understand it. And because you don't understand it, you start thinking about what you're seeing. And then what you're seeing pushes out what God said. And you never do it. You just get stuck on worry. What's going to happen if this continues? What's going to happen? You know, we need to understand that if God said it, it's so. You can count on it. He will do just what he said. And if we really believe that, why are we worrying about things? Pastor Sarah taught a lesson once that said worry is just misdirected energy. Because it takes a lot of energy to worry. It really does. You have to push everything that you've learned aside in order to worry. And God didn't design us to be that way. Now, just think about this. In Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth. And then the earth became without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Why? Well, Satan tried to overtake heaven, got kicked out. When he hit earth, bang, darkness. God didn't go, now what am I going to do? I created this earth for my men. That was part of my plan. Oh, me, what am I going to do about this? I mean, <that's, laughs> I never expected this to happen. You know, he did what he expects us to do. Trust him. I mean, God was like, hey, I'm God. This happened. I got it under control. And it's no different with us. It was like God didn't flip out in the garden when Adam and Eve, you know, sinned. He just rolled right into his plan of redemption. Right into it. So when stuff comes, we need to roll into his plan of redemption. That's all because instead of getting ourselves all hyper, we need to just trust in what God has already said, what we know he's done, and leave it alone. Because he said, I shall supply all your need. All of it. So whatever the need is, he will supply it. We just have to stay steady so we'll be where he's sending it. See, worry will cause us to move all over the place, and I'm supposed to be here. But I'm worrying. I don't know if I can make it landing here. Meanwhile, God has, he has my need coming expressed to here. But I said, you know, let me try over here. And I come over here, and I get upset because it's even worse over here. Yeah, well, what I need was sent over there. So if I stay where God put me, I'd realize all my need being met. Because if he called me to work here, everything that I need to do what he's called me to do, he's going to send where he sent me. And he's going to send where he sent you. We get upset, leave our jobs, and then complain that our need's not being met. And did God tell you to leave? No, but I can't take that from these heathens. You can't take what from who? When did they just become heathens? You've been on that job for years. You just found out that they were heathens? No, you got tired of what you had to put up with, and so you left. And now, look, yesterday, I had to remind myself of the message I taught on Sunday. Okay, I did. You get aggravated about different things. You're like, you know what? Later for all of this. Later, you know, I'm just going to point the car in a direction. You know, yeah. And it's like, this, oh, so you're saying you're going to quit? Nah, I ain't saying that. You know. So I understand that things come and worries will try and creep in. You know, but somewhere along the line, we're going to have to take a stand. And the sooner we do it, the stronger we'll be. And that's the thing. We have to stop worrying what's going to happen. Okay, your job downsized. Did God say, I will provide for your every need unless you get laid off? Did he say that? No. He didn't say, I'm going to cut up. This is the source I was using to bless you. If they decide to go out of the business, you're on your own, kid. He didn't say that. All he said was, I shall supply your every need. Now, I started thinking, you want to think about this also. What is excluded from every? Because whatever you can come up with that's excluded from every, then God's not going to provide that. Because he said, I shall supply your every need. So whatever every means to you, God is providing for it. We just have to make sure that we're believing for needs and not necessarily wants. You know, if you're hungry, you haven't eaten, but you want fried chicken and collard greens and Pastor Sarah's iced tea and Deacon Lee's cookies and, you know, and God provides an ice green salad and some grilled mushrooms, and you're like, I'm not eating that. And you're like, I want. And God's like, no. You need nourishment. I've provided. Just like he provided manna. Got to a point it wasn't enough. You know, we don't want manna. They didn't want it, yet some of them were taking more than a day's supply of the stuff they didn't want. But we get tired of these things because we want. And because we're not getting what we want, we're treating God like he didn't do what he said. Well, he does, folks. He supplied. All the years that I've been in this church, I've never seen anyone come in here with no clothes on. Never heard of anyone getting stopped out in the parking lot. I haven't. You know, so God must, but yet I hear people say, I don't have any clothes. And I'm looking, I must be missing something here. Because you look like you're dressed to me. Right? But it's not what we want. So we complain and we start worrying because we don't have the latest greatest. He never promised us the latest greatest. He promised that he would take care of our need. And specifically in the scriptures in Matthew, he said, don't concern yourself with clothing. I'll provide. Don't concern yourself with food. I'll provide. And it's funny, the song says, if God loves sparrows, well, it's not if, he does. He does take care of sparrows. He does take care of wildflowers. So they're not made in his image and after his likeness, but guess what? We are. And if we realize that, we won't have, this is cares. State of mind in which one is troubled. See, the reason it's important to understand that is before worry comes, first you care. And then it turns into worry. It says, a state of mind in which one is troubled, worried, anxiety, or concern, a cause of worry, anxiety, concern, etc. Well, I looked up the word care, and I looked it up and compared it to take no thought, because the King James doesn't say worry. It says take no thought. And so I looked up that word, and I found something very interesting. The Greek word for care is this word here. It's M-E-R-I-M-N-A, merimna. The Greek word for thought is merimnano. Both of them share the same root word, merizo. That root word means to divide. And I started thinking about that. And I realized that worry divides. It divides. See, the first thing it does, it divides you from your knowledge of who you are in Christ. But it also, it causes factions. See, you'll get with some other folks that are worrying just like you. There'll be other group that's saying, what are you guys worrying about? And you'll be upset with them. And you're splitting the church up because some are worrying and some are not. You know, it divides. I never knew that worry was a divisive force, but it is. It hasn't with us, but it has the ability to cause schism between a husband and a wife. Because one may be worrying about something. It seems that once, why is it that believers get upset? So it's, well, believers appear to be upset. When they're worrying about something, another believer will come and say, well, the word says, I know what the word says. You know, like, whoa, right? Whoa, I'm just trying to, I already know, I told you that. No, but don't tell me that I can't worry. Bible says, be angry, but sin not. Like, what does that have to do with worrying? You know? They just start grabbing at any scripture just to make you leave them alone. And then they pull out their elephant gun. God is still working with me in this area. And folks are moonwalking, okay. All right, that's fine. Because you just have to worry about that thing. Why? Why allow yourself to be separated from who God is? Because that's when we worry, that's what we're doing. We're putting ourselves out there by ourselves. And we're saying, God can't handle this. I don't know what I'm going to do. And that's not the case. At least it's not the case with my father. And I thought we had the same father. So if it's not the case with my father, I don't think it's the case with your father either. Because we both serve a God that cannot lie. We both serve a God that cares deeply and affectionately for us. Look at 1 Peter 5. I'm going to share that with you in the Amplified Bible. Because God doesn't just want, you know, Jesus didn't come to just take some of the things. He wants all of it. All of it. Anything that's concerning you, he wants. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, the Amplified Bible. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Watchfully. I mean, he's not going to let anything sneak up on you. He's not going to let you face destruction suddenly. He's watching carefully. He's providing, and all we have to do is place the whole of all our cares. Don't keep any of it. Place all of it on him. We start holding on to things, and the next thing we know, we're worrying about them. And they're consuming our thoughts to the point where that's all we think about. That's it. That's why, you know, young athletes, they're worrying about the game. You know, the referee comes and they worry, they know, they worry he's going to make the right calls. They worry. Just play the game. That's all. Just play the game. You can't control the referees, but you can control how you respond So just do that. Just do that and you'll be fine. Go with your training.
Well,
I've told you this a number of times. One of our tactics was we used to do things to make the other team, the players, forget their training. They were so intimidated by us, they forgot what their coach said. And in many cases, they were much better than we were. But by the time they figured it out, the game was over. Okay? And the funny part of, I never figured this out, Deacon Lee. Knowing that, the next time we play them, we do the same thing. They respond the same way. Okay? Except for Nassau. Okay? But that's what happens. We get into this state of mind, and we're just troubled, and we can't think clearly. Because our mind is consumed with worry. Look at Luke 10. This is the account of Martha and Mary. Everybody, they want to make someone upset, you tell them, you got a Martha spirit. Yeah, but see, Martha just, her heart was right. She just wanted to get things done. Beginning at verse 38, as they continued their journey, Jesus came to a village, and the woman called Martha welcomed him to her house. She had a sister by the name of Mary who settled down at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was very worried about her elaborate preparations, and she burst in saying, Lord, don't you mind that my sister has left me to do everything by myself? Tell her to get up and help me. See, again, division. First thing that happened is she divided herself from her sister. And now she wanted to divide her sister away from Jesus. Okay. But the Lord answered her, Martha, my dear, you are worried and bothered about providing so many things. Only a few things are really needed, perhaps only one. Mary has chosen the best part, and you must not tear it away from her. See, we get all caught up. I imagine that Martha was probably a good homemaker, and she may have been known for it. And she's worrying, what are people going to think if this isn't just so? I mean, I got Jesus in the house, folks. And everything, like he's going to get mad at her if she misses something. But we take on all of this unnecessary weight and take on all these unnecessary cares. And then when we realize that we weren't designed to handle them, we start worrying. See, I think when you get to that point, okay, so you've made an error and you've taken on too much. Well, you know something? If I'm going along and I'm carrying all these things and I find out it's too much, I'm not going to stand there worrying about it. I'm like, let me get rid of some. This is better. But if this is too much, I need to get rid of that also so that I can function. Why stand there and worry because I decided to take on too much? Since I'm the one that picked it up, guess what I can do? Put it down. Instead of standing there crying for help and sinking when all I have to do is let it go. Look at Philippians 4. All of the scriptures very important. Verse 6. Then I'm going to share it in the Message and in the Phillips. Be careful. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with what? Thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Message Bible says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concern. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness. Everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. The Phillips translation. Delight yourself in God. Yes, find your joy in Him at all times. Have a reputation for gentleness and never forget the nearness of your Lord. Don't worry over anything, whatever. Don't worry over anything, whatever. It means whatever it is. Tell God every detail of your needs in earnest and thankful prayer, and the peace of God, which transcends human understanding, will keep constant guard over your hearts and mind as they rest in Christ. See, when we let our requests be made known to God, He keeps us with a peace that passes all understanding. This is what the Holy Ghost said to me. I don't want to misquote what He said. But when you start worrying, you're no longer making requests to God with thanksgiving, believing that He will do just what He said. You'll begin to murmur and complain. You have no peace because you don't understand what you're going through or why you have to go through it. And you need understanding because the worry has caused you to mistakenly believe that if you understood it, and if you understood the why, you'd have peace. When I was in electric shop as a high school freshman, I had this motor that I just repaired. You know, it was my first job in electric shop. And I had this little piece of wire. And for some dumb reason, I thought it'd be cool to take that wire and wrap it around the shaft of the motor and then spin it. You see the wire spinning around. And then I said, you know what? Let me wire this motor. This will really spin. And so I made sure that, you know, the wire was wrapped around it. I wired up the motor. And when I turned it on, I felt excruciating pain on my right eye. And I immediately went like this. See, what happened is that wire just flew right off the shaft and whop, right in the... Okay, now, I fully understood it was my fault. Okay, I had complete understanding immediately as to what happened. Guess what? Did not make me feel any better. Okay, I was still experiencing excruciating pain because I had thought that that liquid coming down my face, which were my tears, I didn't know it, I thought it was blood. And I wouldn't pull my hand in and let me see. I'm like, no, like that's going to make it better, you know. But my understanding as to what happened and why it happened did not help. I still had no peace, okay. I was still all wrapped up. So why are we looking to get, why do we want to understand? That's a mistake that I made. I just want to know why this is happening. That's what it was. There's got to be a reason for this. What is it? Driving myself up a tree, trying to figure it out, making the situation worse. Because now let's think about this rationally. Okay? All right. Your blood pressure rises. You look at the number and you want to know why this has happened. So you get yourself all worked up because you're going through this and you don't understand why, and it gets higher. You know, in between that, you'll say a couple of scriptures that you know, you got to keep it right there. And then you get upset. You say, but Lord, I just confessed your word. Why didn't it work? And meanwhile, I'm driving it up higher. It's like God's trying to lower, and I'm like, no, it's got to be up there because I got to keep this worry. I got to know why. No, you don't. The only thing I needed to know, my God shall supply all my need. So if I need for the blood pressure to go down, I just need to settle myself and let Father do what Father does. Supply. But no, I had to worry. I had to figure it out. Why are we trying to figure these things out? Didn't we read? No one by worrying can add 1 inch to their stature. No one by worrying can take 10 pounds off their waist. No, that doesn't come by worrying about it. As a matter of fact, worrying about it will cause you to gain pounds. Because as you're worrying, you'll be munching on M&Ms and cookies and, you know, and ice cream and all these things. You wind up eating things that you shouldn't eat. And they say, well, you know, I know it's nerves. You know, and we always say, look at me. I don't understand what's going on. I mean, we're worrying about things, and we're just not supposed to. So, no, stop trying to figure it out. It won't, I'm telling you, it won't make you feel better, because your worry will block your understanding as to what God has said. It blocks it. You can't comprehend it because your mind is consumed with worry. And God is trying to get into you, but you're not hearing him because we're too busy worrying. This is what he said. When you trust God and give him thanks, you give him thanks because he said, he shall supply all my need, and that he's my peace. And he will surpass my understanding, you won't worry. But you have to get to that place where you say, you know what? I'm not going to worry about this. I am adopting a mindset, because I used to say, to try and dispel some of this, well, I'm concerned about it, but it's not my concern. Now I say, it's not my concern, so I'm not going to be concerned about it. And the reason I have to do that, because if it's a concern, it's going to become a care. Okay? This is me, folks. I can say, it's not my concern, but I'm thinking, but this is my wife. It's not my concern, these are my grandchildren. I'm not my concern, this is our son. I mean, that's, and so it's like, you know what, God? You said, and I'm just going to rest in that. Because if I start thinking about the concern, I'm going to turn it into a care, and then I'm going to start worrying about it. Now, that doesn't mean I'm cold-hearted. Doesn't mean I'm unfeeling. What it means is that I'm becoming secure in who I am in Christ and in who my Father is, so that I don't have to worry about anything. Matthew 6, Good News Bible, you know, in verse 24, where it says you cannot serve both God and money. See, you can't serve God and worry. One of them is going to have to go. Because if you're worrying, you're going to start worrying whether or not God will do what he said. Because you've become a worry wart, where your characteristic now is one to just worry. And there isn't anything that we're going through that Father can't handle. Nothing. Amen. Why are we worrying? Because it's not happening according to our timetable. See, and we'll look at it and we'll think it's not going to happen. And we start worrying because we wanted it to happen 3 years ago. Well, it wasn't time 3 years ago. But 3 years later, it happened. Or 2 weeks later, it happened, or whatever it is. As we shared Sunday, I don't get on the bridge of patience. Because my expectation of a bridge is it starts at one point and it ends at another. I get on the road of patience. And this road is like Route 1. Okay. They're going to go take you from Key West all the way to the Navy, you know. You know, just never-ending road of patience. Because when you think about it, our life is a never-ending journey of patience. Because you have patience for this, and then that's over. But guess what? Once that's over, your need for patience doesn't end. Something else happens. So now you have to be patient over here. And that ends. Now you're patient over here. So no matter where we go, there's patience involved. You say, well, I don't believe that. Oh, really? You have to be patient just to get out of your house in the morning. No matter how late you wake up, at least I hope none of you just jump out of the bed and run right outside and go where you need to go. Okay. No matter how much of a hurry you're in, there's some essentials that you still have to do just to get out in the morning. We worried, oh, am I going to make it? Oh, is there going to be traffic? Why start your day like that? Let's say you wake up late. Let's just say you wake up late. Is worrying about it going to put time back on the clock? No. So you call who you have to call and repent and move on. That's all. Move on driving the speed limit. Not, I gotta get to work. I'm going to be late. No. Stop worrying, because when you do that, you wind up being separated from some of your money. Because when you get pulled over, you know. But this is why I tell you, do not be worried about the food and drink you need in order to stay alive. Or about clothes for your body. After all, isn't life worth more than food? And isn't the body worth more than clothes? Look at the birds. They do not plant seeds, gather a harvest, and put it in barns. Yet your Father in heaven takes care of them. Aren't you worth much more than birds? Can any of you live a bit longer by worrying about it? Matter of fact, worrying about how long you live will cut your life short. And why worry about clothes? Look how the wildflowers grow. They do not work or make clothing for themselves. But I tell you that not even King Solomon, with all his wealth, had clothes as beautiful as one of these flowers. It is God who clothes the wild grass. Grass that's here today and gone tomorrow, burned up in the oven. Won't he be all the more sure to clothe you? What little faith you have. So do not start worrying. Where will my food come from, or my drink, or my clothes? These are the things the pagans are always concerned about. Your heavenly Father, well, this says your Father in heaven, knows that you do what? Whoa, so it's okay to have a need. Your heavenly Father knows that there are some things that you need. Instead, be concerned above everything else with the kingdom of God and what he requires of you, and he will provide you with all these other things. So do not worry about tomorrow. It will have enough worries of its own. There's no need to add to the troubles each day brings. We have to have a new philosophy. Hakuna Matata. No worries for the rest of my days. No worries for the rest of my, it's problem free. See, it only becomes a problem when you start worrying about it. So how can that be? Well, before you started worrying, it was an opportunity. For what? for you to trust your father and for him to move on your behalf. You didn't believe he would, so now you got a problem. I mean, that's what it is. Don't worry, folks. Do not worry. We miss God for a number of reasons, a number of ways, but all of them are resulting to worry. And I have an advantage because I'm standing here and I can see the clock. But there's something worried about the time. I'm sitting because we're thinking about tomorrow. What's that song? Don't start thinking about tomorrow. But we're thinking about it, and we're like, okay, this is good, but come on now, I gotta go. And you get yourself all worked up. Then what did he just say? You're worried. And no, don't try and figure out, did he see someone look at the clock? No. All right. But we just start worrying about things. Sometimes it's just out of habit. We're just used to doing it. It's almost like we've been almost like trained. You know, this is what you have to do. Because if you show that you're not concerned, people think something's wrong with you. It's just like, you know, a loved one dies and you don't cry. Never like, oh, you're going to have a breakdown soon. You know. I mean, that's... And you go there and you say, but it's okay. It's okay to cry. God said that, you know, weeping endures for a moment. So go on and weep. And he's like, but I'm fine. You know, I'm rejoicing. And they start worrying, why are you not crying? we're making, you know, light of all of this, but that's what we do. And we wind up with health issues. And we worry because doctor can't find anything physically wrong with us. Because there's nothing physically wrong with us. That's why I can't find it. And we start wishing. You know, you take a test and, okay, this one will come back positive and now I'll know. Will you listen to yourself? I mean, that's just because of worry. Everyone say, my problem free. Philosophy, Hakuna Matata. No worries for the rest of my days. Praise the Lord. Questions or comments?